No. So until last October last year, I was still a full-time lawyer.
Mm.
I gave him my notice at my law firm, and the owner said, well, you will do a general role within the network, but you will also be involved in a club that I want to buy in England. And I said, okay, yeah, that's good. Maybe a couple of days, a week or a month, I will go over there. And then 2 months later, in January, I was there full time. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity, a great club. And I mean, I couldn't have dreamt for a better job in football than this.
Your experience, I mean, obviously, as you say, you've been here now 9 months or so working with Charlton. Is it what you expected? Is it different from what you expected? Did you have any expectations?
Well, I mean, being involved in running a football club, it's huge. I mean, I already got this idea when I first started working for the owner in Belgium, and then coming here, the size of Charlton, I mean, it's a really big club in Belgium. It's one of the top clubs if you compare size and fan base.
Mm.
So it's a huge responsibility, and especially when we came here, we were fighting relegation with huge pressure. We had Chris Powell's situation, which was obviously not the best circumstances. And I mean, it was really tough, but I think it gave us confidence, and me as well, that we succeeded basically by staying up and now having a successful start of the season. It was really good, and so far, I mean, it was tougher than I anticipated, but I don't think there is nothing that we cannot handle, actually.
Yeah, I mean, actually, is that tough stuff? Because as you said, you've had to make very hard decisions. The situation with Chris is very difficult because of his relationship here, trying to stay up, problems with the pitch, all sorts of restructuring when it came to staffing. I mean, you couldn't have had a more difficult opening 6 months to your job, I would have thought.
Yeah, I keep on saying I think I had the worst, or let's hope I had the worst couple of months, and it can only go up from now onwards. And also, by the more I'm here and the more I'm working here every day, I gain so much more experience, and I will be much more comfortable also in my job, which I already notice it. Hopefully every day also my staff notices it, that I'm a bit more comfortable with doing this, actually.
As far as the club is concerned, there's two elements, I think, with football. There is the first team that attracts a lot of supporters, and that's obviously something that, from a chief executive point of view, from running a football club, you have to be on top of. But there's so much more to it as well when you're trying to develop a football club, isn't there, really? I mean, how difficult is it to balance the two?
Well, it's hard, because for us it was really important to make a good start of the season, but giving all the focus to the first team, it's not the right way. I mean, I always keep on saying, if we want to be a Premier League team and promote the Premier League, also the people behind the scenes need to be ready to go to Premier League. And I think that's will be my main focus the next coming months, really, to put in a business strategy in place, so every department and everybody knows what they do in the club and where we want to go, and really carry forward our philosophy and our way of doing or being in football, basically. So, obviously it's tempting not to put all your focus on the first team, because if things go well on the pitch, you're very popular, and it's really easy to be then the CEO of a football club that is in the top six. You get congratulated. Well, obviously you've done the work 6 months ago with recruiting the players, and so, yeah.
Did you? I remember speaking to Bob on the day that he was unveiled as the manager, and I think at the time he was being realistic. He was probably not hedging his bets as such, but he said, you know, the Premier League is the aim, but at the moment it's maybe too early to say when. Do you sort of reevaluate as time goes on, because the start to the season has been so good? I mean, you've got to be ready to potentially go up.
Well, if we're very realistic and we look at the figures, our players' budget is one of the lowest of Championship. And if we look at the historical data over the last 3 years, most teams that go up have 3 times the players' budget than we have. So if you look only at that, we won't have a chance. But obviously, it's still football, so and it doesn't mean that we don't have any ambition. So what we... our analysis was, okay, we construct a good team. It's the first team. We have most of the squad is new. We're doing quite well, and there will be a chance that if we are still doing okay in January, we'll look for some more players to see where it will take us. But even if we invest in 2-3 players, maybe good players in the positions that everybody knows that we need, that doesn't mean a guarantee that we will go up, and that fans need to realize that as well. It's still a gamble.
It's a longer term view, though, isn't it? I mean, Bob said, you know, within 5 years, I think he said, you know, potentially, but you know, it's an ultimate aim. But the impression I get is that you're not prepared to gamble too much. You're not prepared to put the club into serious debt. Other clubs have put themselves into debt in order to, what was once called by Peter Ridsdale, the Leeds United chairman at the time, like chasing the dream. You're not prepared to do that.
Well, we're chasing the dream, but within our means.
Mm.
So, and I think we hope, basically, that more clubs in Championship are going to do that, but because we're just killing each other.
Yeah.
Been chasing this dream, and for us as financial play is a big tool for us to help other clubs also convince that this is the way forward.
I mean, I know you've changed the pitch here, but you're talking about a level playing field across football, aren't you, really, in many respects. Why is that important, do you think? I mean, it's important for Charlton so that you don't lose money, but is it important for the game as a whole, do you believe? Do you think we're in a very, shall we say, dangerous position where clubs are building up huge debts and, you know, getting themselves into trouble?
Well, Charlton was also, most clubs and championships are for sale because the owners are fed up at some point putting and losing so much money.
Yeah.
So for creating a stable environment for fans, but also for owners to invest in clubs, because I always hear the argument in championship meetings or with the Football League. Foreign owners need to be able to invest in clubs how much they want and so on. But I don't think that's the way forward, because you don't want to acquire a club with debt, so even if it is debt to the owner of £80 million or so. It's how much are you going to pay the club for £1, and then the other owner is upset that you only offer £1 for his club. But actually, why would you acquire a club like that? So I think, and also for the level playing field, I think if more clubs compete within their means, I mean, if you see at the championship, the games will become more competitive, I would say. I mean, there are obviously some clubs that are bigger in revenue and so on, and so they will be able to acquire more expensive players. But overall, I think it will do the cost of winning a game if financial fair play is in place will reduce, because clubs cannot acquire 92 Cristiano Ronaldos and so for us that will help us to win more games, I believe.
Does there need to be maybe some sort of levelling out with the Premier League, because the jump is so big, though, isn't it? From you, as you're saying, you're putting a business plan together potentially for eventually Charlton to go up, but suddenly the expenditure, the costing in the Premier League is so much different from the means that you live within the Championship.
Well, that's for me, it's something that we're thinking about. It's a completely different game, and you feel that if you go to Premier League, you completely need to rebuild your team. It's a different ball game. And we're thinking about maybe having a closed system between Premier League and Championship and bring them all together in one league, and with the Premier League A and a Premier League B. So the gap is closer because it also Premier League, they want clubs that come up to the Premier League to be competitive straight away.
Yeah.
But if the gap is, let's say the average turnover in Championship is £80 million, and I think in Premier League it's £100 million for a club. I mean, it's a different world.
Yeah.
So if there were to be, I know it's very easy for Championship club, we want more money from Premier League. I'm not saying that, but we need to come up with a strategy which both leagues will come closer in revenue or with the playing field. But I mean, I think it's also for the Football League, if it's not coming from the Premier League, I would say attract more people, attract better TV deals. I mean, for me, it's a mystery why we play on a Saturday afternoon. I was talking with the chairman of Brighton the other day, and he was saying, well, Friday nights are our best crowd games, and we're competing against Premier League, and also on a Saturday afternoon, people that play football, they cannot come to the games because they play football on a Saturday. Premier League will always attract full stadia, but maybe we should rethink about putting the games on different times, and so we can attract more people and to to our stadium.
Is that something you're thinking of experimenting with? I know other clubs have done that, for example, and that's a smaller level, but Tranmere Rovers up in Merseyside used to do that quite a lot because they had Liverpool and Everton. One of them was at home every Saturday when it was... So Tranmere actually used to play quite a lot of Friday night games for that particular reason, hoping to attract people. Is it something you're going to look at doing?
Yeah, I think, well, we will have to have the ETA approval for the Football League. But I want to propose, because apart from some clubs and Championship, the stadia are not full. And I mean, if they want clubs to generate more revenue on their own, which I think is for sure the way forward, and only ask the Premier League, I think we should look at what can we do. And I think maybe playing on a different time and allowing more people to come to the game, because you lose a whole Saturday afternoon if you come to a Championship game, and if the football is not particularly good, which sometimes can happen in the Championship, well, let's make it a Friday night, a Sunday afternoon, I don't know, but I think it's for sure something we should consider. And I think there will be lots of clubs in favour of it, or at least I hope.
And you're looking obviously to again grow the fan base here. I mean, there's a strong, solid fan base, but how important is it for you to engage with the community, with the current fans, with new fans, to communicate, to sort of have a degree of openness as to what you're doing? I mean, things like this is obviously a way of telling people what your plans and ideas are, but how important is that to you, to have that sort of connection?
Well, when the first things that when we came in is heard that there was a lack of communication from the club to the fans, so we really tried to improve that, and I think we already did some things better, but there's still a lot of room for improvement, obviously. And I want to engage with the fans, because we have obviously a problem. We're not attracting a good crowd, and if we have more feedback and more engagement with the fans, they will tell us what they like and what they don't like. So for me, that's very important. And also make Charlton not only a football club, but make it bigger and engage through our community trust and to other projects. Basically, bring people more to the valley. Obviously, football should be the main reason, but not everybody is into football, so we should come up with some other ideas how we can attract more people into the valley. It can be through dance, it can be other projects, not only sport, but obviously that should be the main thing.
Obviously, Charlton is part of... I was thinking of the right word of describing... A portfolio is probably the right word, isn't it, for Roland with football clubs. He's got a number of football clubs that he has interests in. I was going to call it an empire, and that just seemed a little bit... sort of politically didn't seem quite right. But so if I call it a portfolio, do the clubs that Roland has... Is there a... Not necessarily a hierarchy, but is there a range of how they fit in, or is it just basically he's someone who has an interest in football, and obviously Charlton is one of them?
Yeah, so I said it before, he sees it as their children, as his children. So Charlton is his child, and I don't think there is any pick order. I know many fans speculate about it, Charlton fans or Standard Liège fans, for instance.
Sure.
And they fight for his attention to a certain extent.
Just by any children, yeah.
I will fight for Charlton's attention. I'm doing that on a regular basis. I think knowing him, basically, he also wants the child to develop on his own. And that's where he will see, he wants us to do that as well, is grow with the people that we have here on our own and come up with ideas and then say it to them and look for his reaction. But there is no hierarchy, obviously he's interested in football, but because he thinks it's a very interesting business that you can engage with so many people from so many different social layers in society and really make a difference. I mean, and especially here in England, you see how much football means for people, which is a whole different level than we used to know in Belgium. So for him, this is also a new experience. And the experience that he has here, he will probably also take it to his other clubs and the other way around. Practice that they use in his other clubs, we will try to introduce here as well.
I suppose you get strength from being a family. I mean, families have arguments, they have fallouts, but also they can draw together and have strength as well, can't they? And be supportive. I suppose that's what families do.
Yeah, so what I try to do is I know my counterparts in the other clubs, so if I need some advice, I will give them a ring and say, how do you do this, how do you that? We do this, and especially, for instance, we're now looking at our ticketing and so on, and we're trying to implement on a network level a ticketing solution.
Right.
Or we work with the same kind of companies for all clubs, which is a huge opportunity for sponsors as well. So we have Wi-Fi in Charlton, and so we saw that it worked. The owner saw that it worked, and he's now implementing with the same kind of company in his other stadium in Belgium. So it's great, actually. And it's only a couple of months, and we already have several companies that we do it with. So I see a good future for that, that it will be more easy and quickly and more efficient over time.
In regards to yourself, obviously, certainly at the level you operate, there aren't that many women who operate at this level, but maybe your answers can be very similar. I remember speaking to Chris Powell about this, and Chris used to say, I'm a manager who's black, I'm not a black manager. Do you see yourself as a chief executive who's a woman rather than a woman chief executive? Is that how you see you are the chief executive? Oh, and, you know, I'm a woman, but that's, you know, my gender, but it's got nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't feel people treat me different that I'm a woman, and I think it's good. Basically, it's the way forward. The other day they told me that Karen Brady apparently was once rejected from a boardroom because she was a woman, and I think it's just appalling.
Yeah.
I really much believe that it should be just you're good at, or you're in a certain position because of your qualities. Gender can sometimes be something different and sometimes an asset. And I think sometimes being a woman can be an asset in this business. But I'm Katrien Meren, and I happen to be a woman.
Yeah.
But that's just, yeah.
Do you think as a business, actually, football business, and it is a business in the professional level, will benefit from more, a bit more women coming in, more people from different communities coming in, more ethnic diversity? I mean, is that all very beneficial as far as the sport is concerned? Because it just drags, it will bring in people who are good at their job, regardless of gender, race, creed.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, one of the first things that maybe people more had a problem when I came in, because I didn't have any experience in football. I think that rather than being a woman, they said, well, she doesn't know what she's doing. I feel working in clubs and talking to other clubs, most people that work for clubs are because they're in football all the time. And I really much believe in maybe attracting more people and also women, because we have a different perspective on certain things, that's for sure, from outside of the football business, because they come up with fresh ideas, other experiences in other businesses, we need sometimes to rethink, think a bit outside the box.
Yeah. And with your experience that you've had so far, and it has been whirlwind, and there's been a lot of learning experience, I would have thought, the football business is a strange business, isn't it? What would you say, two sort of elements, what would you say has been something that surprised you in a positive way from English football, and what in English football have you looked at and gone, well, I can't believe that happens, that's not right, we need to do something about that?
I'm very much surprised, given the size of the clubs, and also for Charlton, they're really nice, friendly family club. It feels like family to me.
Right.
And I feel also talking with my colleagues with the other clubs, they also treat you a bit like family, you know, and everybody shares their experience in England, so they're not, oh, that's competition, we won't say how we do things. And they're very much open into conversation, engaging in conversations with us. So that's what I really liked. What surprised me, and I cannot explain it to people from Belgium coming here, is that you cannot drink while watching the pitch. I don't get it.
No.
I know it's because of what happened in the past, but I think maybe things have moved on. And I mean, part of the experience is having a beer when you watch the football. And I underestimate a bit the culture here, but I think we should try to change that again.
I do remember being at a game in Germany once, and this chap sat down in front of us, and he had like a whole six pack of beer, put it in front of him, and went through the whole thing. What needs to change, do you think, from the business of football? Or, you know, you've talked about maybe Championship needs to, you know, those sort of things, the elements of running a football club. I know that, you know, you've looked at, you maybe even been surprised with agents' fees and transfer dealings and money that is spent. Is that as a game that something that needs to be looked at? Do you think just how money is spent in this country? Because it seems to be a lot of money is spent.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I went into football, because like the owner, I believe there's so much. It's such a so much money involved in football, and yet everybody is making loss. So we're obviously doing something wrong. And also, people, if you, everybody who thinks who's involved in football or who wants to be involved in football, they think, well, we can just spend it because it's the club, and so we need to change a bit the people's mentality that it is a club running on a budget. Although some people in this in the club earning crazy wages, but they have a special talent. But that doesn't mean that everybody else involved in it should be the same. It goes for the agents as well. You're representing a client, and they have for sure skills to the conversation and to the deal. But I have difficulties, and I know they won't like me for this, but I don't see why I need to pay an agent in the third year of a player's contract for a certain amount. It hurts me a bit because I know it's money that can be well spent somewhere else in the club. Maybe if I once run a club with a good budget and a healthy budget, it's different. But they don't seem to. Everything needs to. It seems the focus is a lot on the football.
Yeah.
The money goes a lot to the football. While if we see now, clubs need to find other revenue income streams, and it doesn't only come from the football. It should also come from the commercial side and website and everything. And maybe you also need to invest in those areas to get return. But that's a longer term project.
Sure.
And football is all about the next Saturday, if you win or not. And it's. Yeah, if you invest in a good player and people see him this Saturday, they say, well done, while you're neglecting the other sides of the business. And I think maybe that's a mentality change.
So 12 months down the line, so in 12 months' time, I come back here and we have a chat. Not necessarily in the league, but, you know, it'd be lovely to be in the Premier League, obviously, but, you know, that is a longer-term plan. Where would you like to see the club? I know, you know, you're engaging with the fans. Ian was talking about maybe one of the women's matches being played here, getting, you know, the youth or the under-21s playing at the Valley, all these sort of things, all those elements, you know, where would you like to have positioned the club in the next 12 months as a club and not just as the team?
Well, ambition is that people, again, know about Charlton, know what we stand for and engage, come to the Valley, not only for football, but also for other things. Where we want to stand is next. One of our next big projects is improve the ticketing. So every year we will pick some kind of project where fans will really see the difference in what we invest in. See that we welcome all kinds of people. So also for the women's team, I mean, we're looking at opportunities to, obviously Charlton's women's team is not owned by Charlton, but to bring them back to the Valley to a certain extent, or what we can do to them, and not only for the women's team but also for other groups, and work very closely with the community trust to see if we can, some of their activities, bring them more closely to Charlton Football Club, basically.
And you're enjoying it?
I love it.
You love it?
Yeah. I cannot.
You probably work too many hours, don't you?
Yeah, well, luckily I should have asked to be paid by the hour, but I'm not. No. I enjoy it, and I think, obviously you need to have enough money to live, but money is not a driver for me, and it cannot be in a job like this, because otherwise you get fairly frustrated.